Let's give those kids a big hand this morning. Amen. Why don't you take a second and say hello to someone next to you, ask them what they want to be when they grow up. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Say, word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Next week, we have three more sermons in this series on the invisible man, the Holy Spirit. And the topics are the gifts of the Holy Spirit and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some of you may refer to it as a second blessing or being filled. We're going to talk about that. And I would encourage you between now and the next time we see each other, start praying to the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you. See what happens. A couple of announcements real quick. In 2 weeks, Michael Franzese will be here. Gangster. Should be dead. Should be killed. And he has a great story. Also, Friday, I believe it's May 8th, we're going to have the Fine Line. We'll be talking about the economy on Friday night. You want to come check that out and sign up for Pebbles. We need some volunteers. We need 100 volunteers. 100. Let's all bow our heads and pray. And pray out loud with me, if you will. Dear Holy Spirit, how are you this morning? I want to learn about you this morning. I want to have a better relationship with you. Thank you for blessing me, for being with me, for speaking to me. Thank you for your patience. Teach me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, I went to Body Worlds down at the museum. Has anybody seen Body Worlds? Has anybody not seen Body Worlds? Okay, Body Worlds is an exhibit down at downtown where they have these real human bodies. Obviously, they're dead, and they have all the skin off, and they show you the inside of the body, the muscles. They actually have stomachs open. You can see inside. They have heads exploded. You can see inside the head. They have cases where they have a heart, a lung, all kinds of bones, all the organs, etc. They have little jars with embryos in them, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Not 12 weeks, a mother with a baby inside, a real mom with a real baby inside, the stomach opened up, you can see into the womb. They have one man, every part of his body is separated from itself, almost as exploded, and it's hanging from wires. So just imagine my body and everything separated where you can go around and see inside every side of all the organs of the body. It's freaky, okay? So I would challenge you to go. And then they have these little microphones that you can punch in a number and get a commentary on what you're looking at. So they'll teach you facts about what you're looking at. So they have a lung, and they have a healthy lung that's like an off-white color. Then they have a smoker's lung next to it that is black. And then they have a coal miner's lung that's blacker than black. And they have a little sign that says, quit smoking. And they have a little box, plastic box you can put your cigarettes in. There's all these people just dumping their cigarettes in it. I don't want that black lung. Your lung has about 300 million little tiny air sacs called alveolar sacs. If you ever get wrapping plastic where you pop the little bubbles, that's what your lung is made of. So when you breathe, these little sacs fill with air and they go pop, 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 pop. And when they fill with air, the oxygen and CO2 transfer over the membrane of the alveolar sac. There's about 200, like I said, about 300 million of those sacs. They have a brain, and they have a body with just the brain, the spine, and all the nerves. That's it. Just the brain, the spine, all the nerves go into the body. Your nerves, impulses go over your nerves at 250 miles an hour. You have about 14 million cells in your brain cells or neurons. Your heart is about the size of a fist, and if you work out, you have a bigger heart than people who don't work out. Can I get an amen? So if you're an athlete, you got more heart than non-athletes. Your heart beats about 2 billion beats in your lifetime, but if you're an athlete, obviously it's more than that because you're making it beat faster and it's growing. Your heart's a muscle. Your skeleton has, your skeletal muscles, you have about 600 skeletal muscles. These are the only muscles that you voluntarily move. Your heart's a muscle, but you don't voluntarily move that. There's muscles all inside your internal organs, but your skeletal muscles are the only muscles you involuntarily use, and there's not one muscle in your body that's alone. It's a minimum of two muscles working together throughout your body. And so it's just unbelievable pictures, but everybody is a real person, and then all the facts, of course, about your body. Actually, there's a chemoneurotransmitter. It's a nerve that part of the nervous system that measures the balance between oxygen and CO2 in your blood. And if you have too much CO2, it'll tell your lungs, tell you to breathe heavier to get more oxygen. If you have too much oxygen, which you can, it'll tell you to slow down breathing. So all this stuff is going on in your body. The body is ridiculous. Everyone say ridiculous. And so there's a sign on it says that the body, and actually this statement was referred only to the brain, but then when you add in all the complexity of the body, it applies as well. It said that it displays staggering genius. Say staggering genius. Now, just as a side note, because this is not an evolution talk, but if you believe in evolution, who's the genius? And where did the genius come from? But anyway, just think about that. To go, it was my daughter's birthday present to me to take me there. To go, we had to have a ticket. Without the ticket, we couldn't get in. So the ticket gave us access to the exhibit. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no access to God. The Holy Spirit is your access to God and everything that God has for you. There are many of you out there that say you have God. And you say you have a relationship with God. And you say you know God. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit, all of that's just in your head. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, let's do a little backup. The Bible talks about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that there's a Trinity. You know? And I want you to imagine the Trinity like this. Just a picture, a big construction development project like Liberty Station here is 365 acres. There's basically three people involved, is for my illustration. There's one who has the big picture plan to develop the land. Then you have someone who signs the contract to do the work. And then you have another person who comes in and executes the job, the project manager. He actually gets the work done. The Trinity is someone like that. The Father establishes the plan of salvation. Jesus comes and executes the contract by dying on the cross. Then Jesus leaves and says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a he. Jesus refers to him as a him or a he. The Holy Spirit refers to himself as a I or a me. And the Holy Spirit we saw was a person, not a human, but a person. Your personhood is not your body. It's what's on the inside. Holy Spirit has a mind. It has a will. It loves. The Holy Spirit gives you gifts. The Holy Spirit's all-knowing because he's God. He's all-present because he's God. He's all-powerful. And so the Holy Spirit lives in you, and the Holy Spirit can be disappointed, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And so here you have this spirit that Jesus says, I'm going to send to you. You can call him the spirit of truth. You can call him the helper, the paraclete who's going to come alongside, para, and cleave to you. You can call him the spirit of God, the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, however you want to call it. Those are all his names. So Jesus says, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to send the Spirit to you. I will not leave you alone because I will not be with you. I'm going to send the Spirit to you, and he's going to live in you. And what his job is to do is to implement the plan in your life.
He is to implement the plan of salvation on the earth. Jesus is in heaven, seated by the right hand of the Father, praying for you, and the Holy Spirit is actually implementing the plan. Everyone say, Holy Spirit. So when you ask Christ to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit is the one who comes into your heart. He's the one who speaks to you. He's the one who teaches you. He's the one who reveals truth to you. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no relationship with God that's positive. We all have people in our lives who we get along with, and we all have people in our lives who we don't get along with. Can I get an amen? The people you get along with, you have a positive relationship with. The people you don't get along with, you have a negative relationship with. But you have a relationship with both. And so without the Holy Spirit, you do have a relationship with God, but it's not the type of relationship that will save you. You will die and go to hell. Because you can't concoct in your mind a relationship with God that can substitute what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in your life. Jesus says, I will send him and he will be with you and he will live in you and he will guide you in truth. He will talk about me. He will bring into remembrance of what I said and he will convict you of your sin. And we're going to talk about some things today he's going to do. Without the Holy Spirit, you do not have those things. And so you want to be really sure today that the Holy Spirit is in your life and involved in your life and that you, in fact, are relying on him for what he came to give you. Don't think of the Holy Spirit as, oh, those are the Pentecostal charismatic churches. They're into the Holy Spirit, but I'm just a Christian. No. There's no such thing as a Christian without a Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. You may be in your mind. You are accepted as a God, and you say, oh, yeah, I know Jesus died. And that's in your head. That's fine. But at some point, you have to take what's in your head and make a decision to submit yourself to Christ and receive the Holy Spirit and submit to the Holy Spirit and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way you can be a Christian. You can't be a Christian any other way. And by the way, none of this is my opinion. You have to, it's all in here, okay? And if you feel like you have another view, as long as it's in the Bible, because the spirit of truth is what will affirm what truth is. So God takes care of himself. So let's look at five things the Holy Spirit gives access to. Number one, in your notes, the Holy Spirit gives access to God himself. To God himself. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. It says, 2:17, he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Let me read that verse again, verse 18. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. He is God the Father. He is you, and the only way you have access to the Father is through your relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you come to the Father and say, I got money, he says, I don't need your money. I got good looks, I'm cute, I don't need your cuteness. I gave you your cuteness, and I'm going to take it away when you get old. Well, let me say this. I'm going to change it when you get old. You'll still be cute, you'll just be different. You know what I'm saying? And so... So I don't need that. He says the only way you can have access to me in all the ways that you can have access to me is through the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then we're not going past first base. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It's something else you're going to, you're in Ephesians, just four books before Ephesians is Romans 5. This may surprise you as well. You do not have God's love without the Holy Spirit. We'll explain what that means in a minute. Verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3. If you're in Ephesians, it's just four books before it, or so. Verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out. Everyone say the love of God. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When Jesus Christ went to heaven, he says, I am going to send to you, give to you, to live inside of you, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. So I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you many things, and one of those things is that he's going to pour into your heart the love of God. Now, many of you say, well, I already have the love of God. Explain it. Y'all remember being a little kid and you had a crush? How many of y'all had a crush on somebody as a little kid? Everybody, right? I'm sure all of us did. Is everybody amen? Okay. And you remember, I mean, whether girl, guy, you thought they were just the most beautiful thing on the planet. Can I get an amen? And then you look pictures now and you're like, man, what was I thinking? And that's what they were saying. That's what they're saying about you too, okay? Because someone had a crush on you and they're like, what was I thinking? But you see this picture, you're like, oh my. And sometimes now who have kids who are getting older, and they come home and say, oh, this guy's, oh, this girl's cute. And you're like, ah, you know. But it was like you never had that emotion before. It was like, wow. But then you had a baby. How many of y'all are a parent? Raise your hand. Very good. You remember the first time you saw your child? Now, for me, that was a love that I had never experienced. It was a whole different level. Can I get an amen? It was off the chart. It was a responsible love. And it was something that I could never come close to the kind of love I've ever had for anybody else. What God is telling us is that, yeah, there's certain kinds of love you experience on earth, but then there's a certain kind of love you have no idea exists. It's like when I talk to people who are pregnant for the first time, and especially to the guy, I'm like, brother, and both parents, but you're like, you have no idea. Oh, I know it's going to be great. I said, no, you don't. You don't. You're going to experience love that you are completely clueless to. Say completely. Completely. You've never experienced, and they're like, yeah, I keep hearing that. It's going to be great. It's like, you don't understand. It's like way out there. God says the love I have, the love that I have, that the Holy Spirit's going to give you, you don't have. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't love people. It doesn't mean that you really aren't compassionate. It doesn't mean that the love you have for people, God hasn't given you. It doesn't mean that. It means that the Holy Spirit has a different level of love. Because there are some very loving people, very compassionate people in this world. God gave them that and made them that way. But he says, you know what? That's only a taste of what the Holy Spirit's going to bring you. Because the Holy Spirit love is going to bring you. He's going to give you so much love, you'll do stuff that's completely against your nature. And so, though you have human love from God, there's a spiritual kind of love that the Holy Spirit's going to give you that you could only get from the Holy Spirit. Can't get it from anywhere else. It's the kind of love Jesus displayed when he died for us at the hands of sinners on behalf of sinners. And so when you say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm doing all this stuff, well, are you a Christian with your love or are you a Christian with God's love? Well, I'm just a really good person. That's human love. Unfortunately, that's not good enough. The Holy Spirit has a different kind of love that he wants to pour in your heart. So you don't have access to that without the Holy Spirit. Now, some of y'all in here prayed a prayer to ask Jesus Christ to be in your heart, and you gave your life to Christ, and you will say you're a Christian, but in reality, your life is all based on your strength and your love, your wisdom, and in reality, you're not really that much different than anybody else. And I would say to you, I would challenge you that you should not die living like that because you may not be a Christian. Well, who are you to say? I'm nobody. I am nobody. But I'm going to tell you this. If the Holy Spirit's in your life, there is something supernatural about your life because he's supernatural. If there's nothing supernatural about your life, if I were you, I'd really, really make sure that I was saved. Because if the Holy Spirit's in your life and he's doing what he does is supernatural. What he does is unexplainable. Because what he's going to give you access to, you do not have access to anywhere else. And so if you have access to something that you can't get anywhere else, but yet there's no evidence of it, how do you know you have it? How do you know? And Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I build big churches? Didn't I do all this stuff? I gave all this money. And Jesus is going to say, this is Jesus talking now, I never knew you. But I did all the stuff in ministry's name. I never knew you. You were deceived the whole time. You were doing it all in your head. What I mean by all in your head is that you weren't submitted to me. This was all about you. Now, those are people in ministry. What about regular Joes walking around? Oh, this is going to be a rude awakening when people die. You'll be walking down the line, some angel will come and say, oh, excuse me, you're in the wrong line, brother. You need to go over here. No, I hear the people singing. Oh, yeah, but you ain't going there. We are going, no one's singing. But I went to the rock. Hold on. Let me check. Going to the rock, you can get saved and you can go to heaven. That ain't in the book. I have a friend who I've been witnessing to for like 5 years and he won't get saved. And I keep telling him, you're going to go to hell, man. I try every angle with this brother. And he keeps saying, brother, when I die, this is what he says to me. I'm just going to tell God I know you. So I've already told God this. I said, God, if he says this, I just want you to know. I told him not to mention my name. Do not mention my name. Look at number 2 in your notes. The Holy Spirit gives you access to God's power. The Holy Spirit gives you access to God's power. Everyone say power. Ooh, this is a good one. You're in Romans. Right before it is Acts 1:8. The book right before Romans is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is right before Jesus ascended and went to heaven. He told his disciples that he was going to send them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to give them power. Everyone say dunamis, where you get the word dynamite from. Dynamite. Let's look at verse 7. He said, it is not for you to know the times, seasons, which the Father has prepared in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Everyone say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You shall receive power. You have access to God's power. Now, when Jesus was being interrogated by Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate said to him, Jesus, don't you know I have the authority or power to kill you? And let me read between the lines and just kind of bring it into the 2009. Jesus says, yeah, I know you do. Go ahead and kill me then. He said, but I can kill you. You should be like, give me some more respect here. He said, look, Pontius Pilate, you can kill me, but I have power that can raise me from the dead. My Father gave you that power. My Father gave you judicial power. He created judicial power. You have human power. But that power is subordinate to my power. So go ahead and use your little puny power, and then I will use my supernatural power to undo what your power does. We all have power to some degree. Power over employees, people on our teams. If you coach, you have financial power, you have intellectual power, influence, whatever. And we all have that. Everybody has a certain level of power over something, if at least your own body. And God gave us the ability to have that power and influence. That is true. But the Holy Spirit wants to give you another kind of power. So everything that we have in the natural that God created was a warm-up to what God had spiritually. In other words, there's a natural version and a spiritual version. You as a person, you are a person, and we come to think that we sometimes believe that humans are the ultimate persons. No, we're not. God is the ultimate person. We are a ghettofied version of God. And so God gave us love and relationships and so we can understand the spiritual version of all of that. And so God has given all of us power and authority so we can understand, not only have a relationship, but we can understand the spiritual type of power. The Holy Spirit, God is, Jesus is saying, you have power, disciples. You have influence. You know me. You could name drop. You know Jesus. You hung out with me for 3 years. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to give you a different kind of power. It's supernatural. So when Jesus was being interrogated by Pontius Pilate and he was saying, listen, I can kill you, he was like, you go ahead and kill me. But the reason I'm not tripping right now, Pilate, is because I have power you don't know anything about. I have love you don't know anything about. So do what you got to do. And when you kill me, 3 days I will rise from the dead and undo what you did. So go ahead. The Holy Spirit is offering you power you don't know anything about, but it's the bomb. Now, in the human world, in the natural world, we take power from people. We lord over people, and it's about your power, my power, me taking it from you, manipulating it from you. Matter of fact, the reason we gossip is because we're exercising power over somebody because we feel insecure, so we want to pull somebody down to make us feel better. That's a power move. In the human world, we take power from man. In the spiritual world, we receive power from God. In the human world, we take power from man by dominating man. In the spiritual world, we receive power from God by submitting to God. It's the opposite. You can't have the Holy Spirit power unless you submit to God and receive that power and submit to God and use that power for what he gave it to you for. And the Bible says that he's going to use you, I receive power and be my witnesses. He's given you his power for this particular purpose, is to be a witness to God. You can't take God's power and say, I'm going to use it to go over here and get rich for myself. The Holy Spirit, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Matter of fact, I have been places where I have spoken and I wasn't prepared. And right before I go up, the Holy Spirit says to me, very vividly, I'll let you do this on your own. I think you can do this by yourself. And of course, I can't. I'm going, what? He says, well, you didn't ask me about what you were going to say. You just assumed you were going to say that. And so I'm going to let you go by yourself. Now, I know I can't go by myself. I know I can't do this without him. If God changes your life, of course it's not me. And so unless the Holy Spirit's in it, I'm wasting my time. We're all wasting our time. I have people come to me and say, well, you were speaking right to me. And I go, no, I wasn't. I don't even know you. I was speaking to everybody. The Holy Spirit was speaking to you. And so what has to, so the Holy Spirit says, Miles, you go ahead by yourself because you didn't include me in the preparation. So I assume you think you could do this by yourself. And I will go up there and start speaking, and I'm panicking because I know I can't do it without him. And I'm up here speaking, and he's standing right there. I know he's in me, but he's standing already going, whenever, are you going to do this again? Or are you going to include me? I'm like, okay, God, can you help me out? Because I'm dying right now. And I'm talking, it's just empty. And my point is this, is that just because there is a pastor speaking does not mean the Holy Spirit speaking. It's not automatic. And just because you say you're a Christian and you have a Bible, it's not automatic that really God is in your life. And it's not automatic that God is speaking to you. It's not automatic that God's going to bless what you do at all. There are Christians claim who pray to receive Christ who are in prison right now. And so the Holy Spirit says, I want to give you power that you cannot get anywhere else to do things that I have ordained you to do that you cannot do without me. You cannot do without me. Number three, he wants to give you access to God insight, spiritual truth. God insight or spiritual truth. You're in Acts, turn two books towards the back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know many of you have college degrees. Some of you have master's degrees. Some of you have PhDs, plural. We have any professors here? Professors? Anybody? I know there's some professors that go here from colleges here. I have a master's degree, so whenever I see a PhD person, I say, I'll call you doctor, you call me master, and everything will be fine. Then we're on the same page. You can have a master's degree, you could have five PhDs, you're playing the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball all at the same time. You could have been rich, poor, in prison, and lived in a palace and have all that wisdom. And even though you have all that wisdom and experience, there's certain things you will never know unless you have the Holy Spirit. Let's read chapter 2, verse 12. It says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Let's stop right there. Let's look up here for just 1 second. There are things you can learn in the world for read, travel the world and learn all this stuff. But there's some things over here the Spirit has that you'll never learn. You can't learn without the Spirit. God says, oh, that's good. I've given you a bunch of information. But there's things that I have given you in the spiritual realm that you can never get anywhere else except through the Holy Spirit. So through the Holy Spirit, you have access to information. I got to believe that all y'all want to know the stuff that God has freely given you. You can't learn that anywhere except via the Holy Spirit. You can't even learn that going to church unless the Holy Spirit speaks to you when you're in the church. Because the pastor may be telling you some bogus stuff. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. I know, I tell you, people come to me and say, you were talking right to me, and they tell me what they're going through. And I say, first, let me tell you, I appreciate it. Number one, I do not know who you are. I have no idea what your issues are, and I wasn't talking to you, but God was, because he knows you.
And God loves you, and God has a plan for whatever you're going through. And the reason it's important for you to understand that is because when you walk away from me, if you never come back here, never see me again, the same person that talked to you when you were here, he's going to be with you. You don't have to be tied to a person. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you. He'll tell you things you don't know about all your drama and all of our lives. He knows everything. So God, how do I deal with this situation? How do I deal with my money? How do I deal with my job? How do I deal with this drama? How do I deal with this pain? The Holy Spirit got the answer. He got the answer. And by the way, what he's going to tell you is going to be a lot of times opposite of what everybody else would say. Let's keep reading. Look what it says. It says in verse 13, "These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." Look up here for 1 minute. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you necessarily what's in a book that you could get at the library. Well, that's just common sense. The Holy Spirit doesn't deal with common sense. Now, he builds on common sense, but a lot of times he will contradict it. For example, when we bought this building, we had no money, we had no credit, we were 1 year old, and we went to the bank and they said, "You're crazy." 5 or 6 banks said, "You're crazy." One bank said, "We're not going to give you money now because you don't need it now, but we're going to walk with you because we see God doing something." And the construction community here in San Diego, just a few construction people, when they heard we were buying a building, they said, quote, unquote, "Miles is out of his mind." Now, remember, there's a little truth in every lie, but so there's a little truth in that lie, in that stomach. But the point is that what they are trying to do does not make any sense. This is true. This is true. Because what the Holy Spirit will tell you to do, what he's going to tell you to do is requires faith, which is the substance of what you hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So people in the natural are going to say, that does not make sense in the natural, qualify. But in the supernatural, anything's possible. And so if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit says, "I want to do this in your life," and you're like, "It don't make sense," but you can't get it out of your head, you can't get it out of your heart, ho, 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 God's getting ready to do something. People come to me all the time and say, "You won't believe what God..." I say, "Yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will. Tell me now, tell me." And they said, "God did this, and God did this." I said, "That's right. That's what God does." If your life is not supernatural, if there's no supernaturalness in your life, some unexplainableness, you need to be asking yourself, do I have God? Because God does not dumb himself down. God is he's the creator of the universe. You have a relationship? You have a relationship with somebody, two people you can't get along with. That is such a basic, simple thing. Such a basic, if two people, I'm saying two people, if they both say, "We are going to submit to God," they will get along. They don't have to be best friends, but they will get along. Why? Because God's going to give you love you don't have. He's going to give you wisdom you don't have. He's going to give you patience you don't have. But if it's all about you, then all bets are off. So if you have all these little basic things pestering your life, and you just, every day is a struggle, you're rah, 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 rah. Man, you need more of God. But if your life is just like your neighbor's life, the little things get you down, you can't get over the hump, you're just struggling, you need to say, "Holy Spirit, is there any supernaturalness in your life?" Now, I am not saying at all that if you have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have problems at all. But what I am saying is that you will know, and you will experience these God moments in your life where something beyond you gets you through. Something beyond you speaks to you. Something beyond you empowers you. Something beyond you is giving you direction. Something beyond you is encouraging you every day. And you will also know as you continue to rely on that, you will see all this unexplainableness in your life. You are sitting in an unexplainableness. And God wants to do an unexplainableness in your life, but it will only come when you rely on the Holy Spirit. Because that's the only place God's going to give you power. He's not going to give you and bless you spiritually any other way. He is very stubborn, God is. He only does it the way he wants to do it. Look at number four. It says the Holy Spirit gives access to God's freedom to say Jesus is Lord. To the freedom to say Jesus is Lord. We'll read this in a minute. The fifth book from the end is 1 John. The fifth book from the end is 1 John, chapter 4. First John, chapter 4.
It says, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God. Let me paraphrase. Don't believe everybody who says they know God. Don't believe that every religion is legitimate. Don't believe if someone says, I have a relationship with God, they're really telling that the God they're talking about is a God that will send you to heaven. Do not believe it. Why? Because there's false gods. There's faulty religions. There is a devil, and he's the master of confusion. God is not schizophrenic. And I'm not trying to say get on schizophrenic people, but schizophrenic people can have multi-personalities. They're confused about their identity. God is not confused about who he is. He's very clear about who he is. As a matter of fact, people who are secure in who they are have the most healthy version of love one towards another. Why? Because loving someone, part of loving someone, is giving of who you are to someone. If you are insecure about who you are, you only give parts that you think they'll accept and you hold back the other parts. We all know people like that. They're nice, but every now and then you see a side that, where'd that come from? That was them. They just didn't show that to you. But people who are very secure can give all of themselves because they're confident in all who they are. God is very confident in who he is. He, matter of fact, I am who I am. And so he gives all of himself to us. And so when people say, well, there's another God over here, another religion, God says, no, that's not me. That's not me. Are those people deceived? Yes. The devil's a deceiver. That's one of his names. So look what it says here. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. One of the best ways to test whether a religion is legit is, who is Jesus? And the Holy Spirit's job, one of his many jobs, is to affirm the identity of Christ. So someone says to you, well, Jesus is a prophet. Wrong. He's a religious leader. Wrong. He's a brother of Satan. Wrong. He's an angel. No. God in the flesh. Holy Spirit, is that what they're saying and is that what they mean? The Holy Spirit's job is to say, yes. Affirm in your heart, they are talking about the same God. They are, not only are they saying that Jesus is Lord, they are saying that Jesus is God in the flesh. Because you will talk to people who say, yeah, he's a Lord, but there are many Lords. They won't tell you that part, though. Holy Spirit, affirm to me, because you are the Spirit of truth, and your job is to affirm and reveal Christ, so you affirm to me. Without the Holy Spirit, you'll accept anything. You'll believe anything. The Holy Spirit will bear witness. We've all met people where we discern something's not right with them. And I'm not talking spiritual. I'm just talking about in general. You don't feel comfortable with them. You feel like they're looking at you funny. Can I get amen? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, it's called discernment, right? Well, that's a natural form of spiritual discernment. We talk about the gifts in a few weeks. We'll talk about that. Where spiritually, you have that emotionally, mentally, it's kind of like a sixth sense. Well, I don't know what it is. You know, we got it. And then there's a spiritual version where someone will say, yeah, I'm a Christian, blah, blah, blah. And the Holy Spirit's going, Watch him. Something ain't right. There's a spiritual offness. And you don't know what it is. You just know he's warning. Warning, Will Robinson, warning. And you don't need to know. All you need to know is go, let's talk later. I don't know why. Ladies, you may want to date a guy. He's nice. He's articulate. He looks good. He's got a job. He's got money. He's got, you know, everything. Everything's lined up. But some, and he goes to church. He got a Bible. Some ain't right. Now, it may be that that's just not who you're supposed to be with. He may be a nice guy. It's just not for you. But it also may be a spiritual thing. And the Holy Spirit is saying, Because just because he's a Christian doesn't mean you should date him. You should date him because he can help you grow spiritually. Don't believe I'm a Christian. That's not good enough. Anybody can say that. Devil can say that. The devil transforms himself into an angel of light. I want to test the spirit in you. One of the ways I know where people are at is I'll ask them to pray. Especially if we're in a meeting or interview or something like that. I'll say, why don't you pray for us? And if they pray like this, dear God, now lay me down to sleep. Please bless this interview. So, we got issues. But
But if they say, Holy Spirit, I just thank you so much for your omnipotence. Now, not that the big words are the big deal at all, because I'm not a big word person, but the fact is, do they show insight that they've been in this book? That the Holy Spirit's working in it? Our time's running out. Let's go to number four or number five. It says, the Holy Spirit secures our eternal access to God. Now, I know eternal security is a big deal for some of y'all. Some of y'all believe you can lose your salvation. Some of y'all believe you can't. Let me explain it this way. Imagine I get married to my wife. I am married to my wife. Say, imagine. I did not have this conversation with my wife. I know the gossip will go out after, you know, she's having an affair. Da, da. But imagine if I got married to my wife, and a week after I got married, I said, look, now we're married, everything's cool, I want to ask you a question. How many times a year could I cheat on you before you divorce me? I want you to imagine this. Say imagine. Okay. If you go out and tell somebody I'm cheating on my wife, may God strike your tongue frozen. So I want you to imagine I did that. Now, and my wife says, what? She says, listen, you know, I have, you know, just, you know, I like women, and how many times could I cheat on you? Because I want to know how far I can push it before you leave me. So I won't go over that line. I promise I won't go over the line. Just tell me how many women. 5, 6 a year? I don't tell me how many. How many would say that I should have never got married? How many should say I really never did get married? Okay. There are people who say, Jesus Christ, be my Savior. And I want to see how close to the fire I can get. But if I know I'm not going to lose my salvation, I'll go close to the fire. And eternal security for you is a license to do as much as you can without going to hell. That person probably is not saved. Eternal security is a balance. The balance is this, is that I really gave my life to the Lord. I really committed my life to the Lord only, and I'm really loving Him with all my heart. That is salvation, not I prayed a prayer. Now, will God leave you? I would tell you don't push it. Because if you're out here living in the world, it may be you never got saved. You just said a prayer. But you could solve all that mystery by one very simple thing. Be obedient, and then you don't have to worry about it. That's my eternal security theology to you. Don't worry about it. Because some people take a license, oh, I'm secure, I'm never going to go to hell, so now I have a license to push the edge. Mm-mm. You should every day wake up saying, God, I really want to obey. God will never leave that person. Ever. Never leave that person. That's the person that's going to heaven. All the other people, woo, where they're at, I don't know. Because are they even saved? And if you say, I am going to commit to Christ and I'm going to do everything in my power and His power and His love to submit myself to Him every day, you are absolutely going to heaven. There's no question about it. And you are secure. Let's read a verse. Look what it says in verse. We're in Romans. Turn to Romans. You're in 1 John. Go back to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15. It says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Everyone say adoption. God has adopted you. You are His child. You were not born His child. You were born a child of wrath, Ephesians chapter 2. You were adopted. You received the spirit of adoption by whom, as a matter of fact, that's another name for the Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba Father or Daddy. The Spirit Himself, everyone say Himself. He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You've been adopted, you're a child. And if children, you are an heir. And if heir, heir of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. Write down 2 Corinthians, or just 2 CO, 1, 21 to 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 to 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 to 22. And Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, you're going to read about the Holy Spirit sealing you, guaranteeing you, the Spirit of promise, all that stuff. But let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit really is in your life and you really did make a commitment, that stuff, worrying about whether you're going to lose it is not an issue. Don't worry about that. You always want to be encouraging people to obey God. You always want to be encouraging yourself to obey God, and you don't have to worry about it. But you have no salvation unless you not have the Spirit. None. There was a guy who, let's all pray real quick because our time is running out. I want to, I don't want to cause a problem outside. Holy Spirit, there are people in this room right now that they need you. They need more of you. And as I'm praying right now, I'm going to ask you, if you say, I want to make sure that God is in my life, I want to make sure, just get up out of your seat right now and come down to the altar. There are some of you who prayed a long time ago, and you prayed a prayer and your life is no different. Just right now, just get up out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Lord, I pray there's people here who really want to surrender. They want to surrender everything to you. They're ready. God bless you. Just get up out of your seat. We don't have a lot of time. We got babies we got to get out. We got traffic we got to avoid. So just right now, real quick, you've been hearing God all morning. You don't need to wait any longer. You've been hearing him all week. You've been hearing him for years. You don't need to wait any longer. Just get up out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Lord, thank you so much. God bless you. 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 We're only going to do this for 60 more seconds, then we're going to leave. So just come up out of your seat. Lord, I pray that people would surrender to you, that they would seek with their whole heart. They would ask you to fill them to overflowing. And the filling, you would fill them by them emptying themselves. Just get up out of your seat. Come on. You got issues God wants to deal with. Get up out of your seat. Lord, as these people come down, I pray that you bless this church and these people here, that you would speak to them and encourage them and empower them and give them wisdom, and that they would seek a relationship with you that is life-changing, that is supernatural, that is unexplainable. Thank you for being available to us. Thank you, God, for being patient with us. May our lives be unexplainable to the natural eye. In Jesus' name, amen. Very quickly.